They said, you were picking up beer cans. I said, those weren't mine. I said, no, those weren't mine. They said, oh, we know. We saw you and we knew you were picking up stuff that someone else dropped. And then they said something that I remember. They said, you know, we figured that if you are okay cleaning up other people's trash, then we can come because we got a lot. And I thought, you know, interesting, hidden service. It's the things that we do hoping that nobody would see that God uses the most to change an eternity.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Gradero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Some of the greatest acts of service are the ones no one even sees. In today's message, Pastor Wayne will share stories and wisdom from Matthew chapter 6 about the beauty of hidden service, the place where people stop seeing us and start seeing Jesus through us. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Tales of Hidden Service.
And today's message is Tales of Hidden Service. Tales of Hidden Service. In the book of Matthew, we're going to see some of those. There's just tales of hidden service and fasting and prayer, and two that affected my life the most. We'll talk about that today. But first of all, to give you a funny story, my wife's birthday this week. So if you see her, tell her happy 39. And I think it's the 40th anniversary of our 39th birthday or something like that. But I have a fun story about a birthday. A couple that lived around here had the same week their birthdays. And they'd been married for a long time, and they were turning 60 years old. Same week, same birthdays. So they would always celebrate their birthdays together, but they never had that much money. So this birthday, they just went to Florence over here on the coast, and they were celebrating their birthday together. And they decided to take a walk along the Oregon coast, and in doing so, celebrating their 60th birthday together, they come across this glass float. And so they thought, well, this is cool. And the unique thing about it, it has a cork in it. So they pull out the cork and whoa, voila, a genie comes out. Now, it's a Christian genie. A Christian genie went to Bible college, the whole thing. But the genie goes, whoa, it's your 60th birthdays together. I'm going to give you each a wish. But remember, there's no refunds, no returns on this. So make sure you know what you wish for. Oh, the lady said, I don't have to think a second on this. My husband and I, we've always wanted to go to Hawaii. And so for our birthday, our 60th, we'd like to be in Hawaii. Whoosh. Little do they know, they are now at Waikiki Beach, just that fast. Poof. Whoa, she said, I am so thrilled. This is the trip of a lifetime on our 60th birthday. And the genie said to the husband, okay, now it's your wish. Well, he's looking around all these pretty girls laying on the beach with bikinis. And he went over to the genie and said, you know what? I'd really like to be married to a woman that's 30 years younger than me. She said, okay. Poof, he's 90 years old. Be careful what you wish for. You might get it. By the way, the book Jesus Pure and Simple is still available today. And then next week, it'll only be available at the bookstore. But today, it's available at the bookstore, the welcome tent, and down here at the hospitality. I'm going to share a few things out of this, but the rest, not able to. But it'll be a quick read for you. I think you'll enjoy it very, very much. Tales of Hidden Service. You know, Jesus does a lot of that. He talks about hidden service because it's what we do on the aside that actually makes the most difference. It's what people don't see or you don't think they see. They really do. It's the little things. It's not big things. It's the small things. When I was living in Hilo, we were pioneering our first church. One of the things I always have hated, just hated, is when people have rubbish, trash in a bag, and they're taking it, let's say, to the dump, and it falls out of their pickup, and it goes all over the road. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Just hate that. And I see it strewn all over the road, and I think, oh. So I was on my way to preach at church, and I run through all of this rubbish with beer cans. And I'm thinking, this is just terrible. I hate it. This is terrible. The county needs to pick this up. This is terrible. Horrible. I wonder who did this as I drove to talk about the love of Jesus Christ at church. And then after church, I drive home and the stuff's still out there, right on the street. And I'm complaining again, saying, this is just terrible. I can't stand this. It makes this whole place look so ugly, just ugly. Well, I went home and I'm getting out of the car and the Lord says, you go clean it up. I thought, no way. That's the county's job. And the Lord said, nope, it's yours today. I thought, no, that's not God talking. That's just me thinking. But as I went in, you notice God doesn't yell. He just keeps his finger on you. No, you do this. You can, oh, look, Wayne, he's running away from me. Oh, run. It's kind of like you can run, but you cannot hide. So finally I thought, oh. So I went out, got a couple of black bags, plastic bags, and drove down there. But I didn't want people to see me because I didn't want them to think those were my beer cans. So I parked behind, this is a true story, parked behind this bush. And I put a hat on, and so I wait for cars to go by. There's no cars coming. I run out there, and I start picking stuff up, and there's a car coming, and I run, I hide behind a bush like this. Okay. And I had to do that 3 times because there's so much junk out there, and it was a company party. I noticed the name. Oh, I'm not buying stuff from them anymore, you know, and grumbling all the way. And, well, the next week, was after it was all cleaned up, I got rid of it. And the next week, I was at church, and a new couple came for the very first time. And I said, hi, my name is Wayne. They told me their name. This is our first time. I said, oh, great. I said, "Who? And did someone invite you? They said, you. I said, I did. We saw you. I said, when? On the street. I said, when was that? They said, you were picking up beer cans. I said, those weren't mine. No, those are not mine. Then, at that time. And I said, no, those weren't mine. They said, oh, we know. We know who you are, and we saw you, and we knew you were picking up stuff that someone else dropped. I said, oh, yeah, I guess. And then they said something that I remember. They said, you know, we figured that if you are okay cleaning up other people's trash, then we can come because we got a lot. And we'd like to come. And I thought, you know, interesting, hidden service. It's the things that we do hoping that nobody would see that God uses the most to change an eternity. I thought, So today I want to talk about tales of hidden service. In the book of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus addresses that head on. And he says it this way, and we'll read it in your notes or in your Bible, Matthew 6, chapter 1. And then after we read that, I'll read a few more verses. But it'll come up on the board as well. So would you read it nice and loudly? Would you read it? Go. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Let me continue. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. I tell you that they've received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, I looked at that and I thought, interesting. Today, I'd like to introduce you to a mentor of mine. And then I'd like to give you a couple of renewal activities that will renew our hearts. But first, let me tell you, I'm going to take you all the way across the ocean to a place called the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is located in Israel. It actually is strategically located that it borders 3 nations. On one side is Israel. On the top is Palestine, where the Palestinians live. And then on this side is Jordan. 3 nations. And God, for some reason, put this metaphor, this illustration right in the middle. For 18 years, I've been taking tours to Israel. And we've gone up to Syria, Mount Hermon, down through the Sea of Galilee, all the way down to Egypt, back up through the Jordan. And each time we go from south to north or north to south, we pass by the Dead Sea. Let me tell you a little bit about it. The Dead Sea is 47 miles long, 11 miles wide. It is no small body of water. However, it is shrinking every year by about 3 feet. Why? The Dead Sea is 1,400 feet below sea level. So here's the Mediterranean. Here's the Dead Sea down here. It drops that far down. And so 88 miles to the north is the Sea of Galilee. Gets its water from Mount Hermon. And then it passes through the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus had his hometown, Nazareth, Capernaum, etc. 88 miles winding its way through Israel down to the Dead Sea. Now, one of the problems with the Dead Sea is that it has an inlet, but it has no outlet. It used to go all the way to the Gulf of Aqaba, but no longer because it's dried up. And so now it receives for eons, for centuries, water from the north, all of its minerals, and it keeps it. But the only loss it has is through evaporation. It evaporates faster than it would let go water. So what happens is it is now, as far as minerals are concerned, the richest spot on the face of the earth as far as minerals. The ocean is 4% saline and minerals. Dead Sea, 34%. In fact, here's some pictures of the Dead Sea. You'll see that this is all salt deposits and not just sand. And if you take a look at this next one, that's what's on the side. It's all minerals building up. Just tons and tons and tons of stalagmites coming from, believe it or not, 1,000 feet below. That's how deep the deepest part of the Dead Sea is. And if you look at an aerial shot, you can actually see the salt pillars building itself up almost to the surface now. It is so buoyant, you can lay in the Dead Sea and read a newspaper and not sink. It's like you're on a flotation device. That's how buoyant it is because of all of the salt minerals. It is the richest spot on the face of the earth as pertaining to certain minerals. Now, interesting, just north, 88 miles, is its sister body of water called the Sea of Galilee. There you will see boats, fishing boats, drying nets, haggling over prices, markets, restaurants, lining the whole place called the Sea of Galilee. Very alive with activity and fish, very abundant. But only 88 miles south, no fish, no boats, no drying nets, no haggling over prices, no restaurants. Why? Because it's dead. There's no fish that can survive in that. No boats can actually navigate that much buoyancy. So basically, it's dead. And it is just shrinking year by year. Yet it's rich, but it's died. And it's dying even more. You say, well, how can we restore, regenerate this lake so that there'll be fish again in it? Well, if you add a bunch of water, it'll just turn to saline. Well, what do we do? The only way is if there is a massive space-size, gargantuan, cosmic backhoe that would dig out a canal that lets the water out so that there's an outlet, and now there's going to be fresh water running through. And in doing so, forever, how long it'll take, you'll start to get life again. But without the outlet and only an inlet, it is rich, but dead and shrinking. Interestingly, for some Christians, we may be more like the Dead Sea than anything else. I mean, think about it. How many years have we had inlets? An inlet. I mean, think about how many sermons you've sat under over the last lifetime. 100, 50, 80, 200, 1,000? But if we just simply have an input and no outlet, if there's no intentional celestial spade that comes in and digs this out, then we'll be rich, dead, and shrinking. And take a look at the American church. And so I look at that and I think, God, you know something that's interesting? You actually not only created the Dead Sea, but you put it right in the middle of three countries that need it a lot. The Arab nations, the Palestinians, and the Israelites. And I thought, how strategic is God where three nations are around the Dead Sea, almost like God is saying, take a look and learn. Today, I want us to take a look and learn. And maybe God will somehow divinely make an outlet through hidden service. Matthew chapter 6. Now, with that, let me introduce to you one of my mentors. She's since passed away, but she's left behind a legacy of books that I have read. Her name is Mother Teresa. Now, Mother Teresa is known to be a Nobel Peace Prize recipient. She also is the founder of the Home for the Dying in Calcutta, India, where people would die on the streets because it's karma that no one would help them. Because if you help them, they're just going to have to die again and go through it again. So don't help them because that's their karma. So they die and shrivel up on the streets, and then they throw them into the Ganges River. Well, Mother Teresa would take them off the streets, put them in this palliative care place called the Home for the Dying, and share Jesus with them and give them something of an honored passing. And there, her servants would work with all of these people. And she said something that I'll not forget. She said to the ladies, she said, "When you pass out meals, don't pass them out with your hands. Pass them out with your hearts. And when you wipe the tables, don't wipe them with a dishcloth. Wipe them with your heart. Then and only then can what we do become something beautiful for God." Amen. And then she said this, "Do you want to be great? Then pick up a broom and sweep somebody's house." And I thought, I want to learn from this lady. So I virtually read all her books that she wrote because I wanted to find out what made her tick. And as I would apply it, for us, it would mean when she said, just pick up a broom and sweep somebody's house. Look what needs to be done. For us, it could mean picking up some trash on the way to church. You see it on the road or on the driveway. Just pick it up, throw it away. Or setting up chairs when you need no recognition for doing so. Or giving someone value that everyone else seems to pass by. You'll come into church and you don't know the battles that people fight just to get here. There might be homeless people or people of a different economic situation than yours. Or you might see someone sitting over in the corner all by him or herself. Instead of circumnavigating them, go straight, make a beeline to them. Give them value. It's those little things that make this church something beautiful for God. It's those are the things where Jesus starts to show up through us. So let's talk about a couple of things that are outlets, digging as it were, outlets for renewal. And let God dig a little bit. And the first in Matthew chapter 6, you're going to see tales of hidden service, fasting and prayer, etc. But two of these I'm going to highlight. The first is hidden giving. He talks so much about giving, not for trumpet sound or for accolades or recognition, but because God has spoken to our hearts. Now, he uses what we call a literary hyperbole technique, a literary hyperbole. You'll learn that in writing, creative writing, etc. But basically, it's an intentional exaggeration to prove a point. And you're about to hear one here in this verse. Let's read it together in Matthew 6. Would you read it with me? Go. "When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Now, think about it. Can you actually give with one hand without the other knowing? Not really. But what he's doing is he's emphasizing it with this literary hyperbole, it's called. He's emphasizing giving because of purpose, not for publication. So that's why he uses that. that we give for purpose. For us, it could mean something small. Give for purpose, not for a tax break, because I'm not going to let the IRS tell me when to give. I'm going to have Jesus tell me when to give. Or it's buying a journal for someone who may not be able to afford it, or just start tithing to your home church without reservation. So I know that that's what I get to do. It's one of the, and you've got to intentionally break out that outlet. It ain't going to happen on its own. It'll just evaporate and we'll die rich. I tell people, you know, the richest spot on the face of the earth, it's not in the mines of the Balkans or the uranium mines or the diamond mines of Africa. It's right down the street here on West 11th. It's called a cemetery. Under those 6-foot pieces of sod are dreams that have never been realized, works that could have changed our community, activities that we could have done that would have made somebody's life so much different. Their eternity's changed. Maybe someone who was in depression with a smile that could have been brought out of that darkness. Just all those things still within us, the potential of changing our community, we take to the grave. Why, if I could exhume what could have been done or the potential out of one cemetery, I'd be the richest man on the face of this earth. Can I say this? Don't take what's potentially in you to the grave. Don't do it. The graves are rich enough as it is. God gave us what we have so that we can make this place a better place. We are ambassadors of heaven to this nation. So we get to be a people that say, let's figure out how to do exactly that. For us, it could mean just that. Just a smile. Just a handshake. Something small.
If you want to be
just heard part one of a message entitled Tales of Hidden Service by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. In fact, here's a sneak peek at what's in store for tomorrow.
See, here's the litmus test to be a servant. Are you ready? The truest test of a servant is how you respond when you're treated like one. You see, a lot of us want to be known as servants of the Most High God, but don't you treat me like one. Don't you pay me like one. Don't you just kind of walk over me like one. See, but that's the truest test of a servant. Mother Teresa taught me through one of her books. She said, you want to learn humility? You must be willing to be humiliated.
Now, for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and aloha.
Feeling like life is running you over? It's time to take control with powerful attitudes for a successful life by Wayne Cordero. This insightful book reveals the keys to abundant living found throughout the Bible, helping you avoid common mistakes and see life through God's eyes. With humor and wisdom, Pastor Wayne shows you how to think differently and live successfully. Order Powerful Attitudes for a Successful Life now, only $5 at lifesources.cc. Lifesources.cc. A successful life is within your reach. Start today.